Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Joining me here in our visual radio studio to talk a little bit about a new position at San Juan County and some of the benefits that it will bring to the population, County Manager Mike Stark is here. Good morning. Welcome back to KSJE.
Good morning, Scott. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you for being here as well. And also Sue Hodgman is here, who is the county's newest employee. I would probably be okay in saying that.
That is correct.
The county's newest behavioral health services director. Sue, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming in as well.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
And Mike Stark, let me talk with you a little bit about the need for this position now that Sue has, and it all came from a study about the behavioral health services that we have here in San Juan County or don't have?
That's correct. Scott, going back to the previous county commission back in the fall of 2018, it's been known for some time that we do have a gap in the behavioral health system here in San Juan County. And of course, you know, San Juan County and our other public agencies here in the county see quite frequently some of the behavioral health services needs from first responders who are dealing with folks that are out on the streets. Ultimately, in some cases, where they end up is unfortunately, the de facto mental health facility today, which is the adult detention center here in our county oftentimes. And so our commission really wanted to take a hard look at how can we improve the overall system of service delivery here in San Juan County. And the first step in that was to determine what are the exact gaps. You know, why are we having gaps in our community, be it providers that are not able to provide certain services, are able to recruit certain therapists and counselors here, to folks that are having high rates of substance abuse issues in our county, and how do we fill those gaps and make this a better system for everyone? And so the gap analysis, we contracted with a company from Albuquerque, actually Santa Fe and Albuquerque. There were two individuals involved in that effort to help study where we have gaps in our system. And ultimately, the report identified some of those needs, and then it also outlined solutions and recommendations for how to best tackle some of those issues. And the first priority, the highest priority given within the report, was the hiring of a behavioral health services director that could help to collaborate and coordinate this effort and to help to work to put together a strategic plan and ultimately, through time, tackle some of the problems and put solutions in place that will work best for our community.
I got it. And all fingers pointed to Sue Hodgman, apparently.
That is correct.
Right?
And we're happy to have Sue on board. She is the San Juan County's first ever behavioral health services director.
Very good.
It's very exciting to have her here, and she brings a great amount of experience and expertise in this area, having worked in a number of different capacities here locally. And so we're sure glad to have her on board and leading this new initiative and effort to really help improve the entire behavioral health system here in San Juan County.
Right. And Sue, I'm going to ask you a little bit about your background in just a second, but I know Mike Stark, with some of the budget challenges the county is facing, I know you're not going out and hiring a bunch of people all the time. And so obviously this position was deemed so important by you and the commission, I would assume, that they wanted to move forward on this right away.
It was. It was deemed a high priority in this budget cycle. And one of the advantages we had in hiring this position is that we have certain buckets of funds within the county. Of course, the general fund is that bucket that's available for broad use across the county. But one of those specific buckets that we were able to utilize for the hiring of Sue's position was the healthcare assistance program.
I see.
And those services are directly targeted to improving health here in the county. And so that provided us a little flexibility in being able to create and fund this position and make this a real priority for the county.
Very good. Well, Sue Hodgman, let me turn to you and ask a bit about your background, if you wouldn't mind reminding all of us kind of history with behavioral health in our community and all the things that you've been doing. We were talking, I know, before we came on the air this morning that this is one of your, I think, professional passions and something that you really have worked many years in the field. And so remind us a little bit about some of that work.
Well, let's see. I've been a substance abuse counselor. I've been a case manager. I worked in early childhood thinking, where's the best place to make that difference with a family with a child? And so I thought it was early childhood for a long time. And so I started out as a home visitor many, many, many years ago and teaching parents how to take care of their babies. And then I have a mentor who said, Sue, I think you need to become a substance abuse counselor. And, you know, because I get really frustrated because, you know, a lot of people are abusing substances and just can't focus, can't do what they need to do. So I went away, I got my degree, came back, went back to work for her. And then, and that was at the FLAG program, the Families Learning and Growing, which was started at the college, actually. And then I went to work at the Access Program as a substance or as a case manager first, and then worked my way up, became a substance abuse counselor for the Access Program, then a I started the transitional program that brought the new graduates out of the Access Program into the public and showed them how to go to meetings, how to hook up with the, you know, the mental health providers, how to get your medications, how to build a supportive network, things like that. Then I went to work at Four Winds as a, let's see, what did I do? I'm trying to think. I did the outpatient coordination up there and ran their outpatient program. And then I went back to Firstborn, home visiting, because, you know, I just kind of got called to go back there. Actually, I wanted to direct a program, and so they had an opening, and they let me come on and do that. And I forgot to add Masada House.
That's another,
While I was working at the Access Program, I was able to build Masada House, the transitional living.
The very beginnings of that program, if I'm not mistaken.
My husband and I founded that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's where I learned how to write grants.
Right.
First thing I did was sell candy bars for 25 cents a piece to figure out how to fund it. So I've learned how to raise funds. I've learned how to write grants. I've learned how to just do the whole behavioral health gamut.
You know,
it's huge.
Right.
And I've made some really great relationships along the way.
So this gap analysis that Mike Stark talked about and that you and I spoke about before we came on the air this morning, this has got to be your kind of Bible, if you will, that you're carrying around with
it
you
is.
And
right
reading
there.
Through
yes.
And you've got it both
Every
in front
day.
Of you.
Yeah.
That's really kind of driving some of these decisions that are being made. And and this study, Mike Stark, I guess, is fairly detailed as to what it says we need to be doing in San Juan County, or at least what directions we need to be moving to help our residents who suffer from mental health problems or have mental health issues.
You bet. No, it's mental health, it's substance abuse, it's really the overall well-being of the individual. Mind, body, and spirit when you talk about behavioral health. So it's a pretty encompassing term in terms of what behavioral health means. But yes, the study itself was in terms of trying to gather information from the community. You know, there were six focus groups that were specific to areas within the community, from you know, providers to the public safety entities to folks that have utilized the behavioral health services here in our community. There were over 60 informant interviews that were conducted with key members in our community, from legislators to elected officials to members of the school districts, the college. Really just try to get a full wide view of the behavioral health landscape today. And then, like I said, you know, we didn't want to jump into this not knowing what the exact gaps were, and we certainly didn't want to jump into this thinking, well, you know, Albuquerque has a similar initiative. Obviously, what they're doing is exactly what we need to do here in San Juan County. Didn't want to make that assumption. Wanted to gather all the facts locally. We looked at past reports that have been done here. San Juan Regional Medical Center every few years conducts a community health report.
Right.
San Juan County Partnership every 4 years conducts a needs assessment. And so all of that data was gathered together, along with the interviews and the focus groups, to really formulate a really solid gap analysis with a really good set of recommendations and possible solutions, broken out into some short-term goals, some medium-term goals, and some long-term goals. And ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, with Sue on board now as our behavioral health services director, she gets to take all this and go back out and verify that these are the right solutions for our community, help to prioritize those with our various stakeholders in the community. And then ultimately, at the end of the day, we're going to have to determine how do we fund some of these priorities. Some of these solutions are low cost or no cost, but when you get to some of the longer term options, one is as broadly and as big as a 24/7 community mental health facility. That comes with a fair amount of capital and operating costs associated with it. And so that's going to be the work ahead of Sue as she tries to put this all together, and we have great faith and confidence in her, given that she has such great experience in our area and really networking amongst a lot of different folks in our community that will be helpful to this,
sure,
this initiative.
Well, and it sounds like there are some things that we're already doing yeah, right, and helping people, and people are getting the help that they need, but there are certainly always ways to be improving on that, or maybe offering more, or getting more providers, or things mm-hmm. along that line in any community, I would think, and this is some of the things that maybe this report is talking about?
Right, yeah. And what I've been going around for the first month I've been here is I've been talking to all the providers in the area and just regular people and telling me, have you seen the report? What do you think about it? Give me your opinion on it. And I've been discovering what is working well in our community, and then where the holes are, what the gaps are, and what other entities' suggestions are and what they would like to do as well, and what they do well already, what they want to do more of. And that will go into our strategic plan when we get to that point. I'm still gathering information right now, but we've got a lot of good things going on and a lot of really great ideas.
Right. Well, that's good to hear. And mm-hmm. It sounds like this has impacts in other areas as well. As Mike Stark was mentioning, the detention center, you've got behavioral health issues that certainly are there. Mm-hmm. Homeless population, I would think you have behavioral health issues that are impacting that community, and on and on and on. And so right. It sounds like as you start looking into this, it opens up other areas and pockets of our community mm-hmm. that also then could be helped by some of these initiatives that you're looking at.
Yes. And I think behavioral health affects us all in one way or another. If it's not us, if it's not our family, if it's not our friends, it could be our neighbors, it could be that one person that we need as that vital cog in our community because they're dealing with mental health issues or substance abuse issues or both of them. They can't bring out their qualities, their gifts, whatever it is, and our community's lacking by not getting those gifts from those individuals.
Sure.
And
but these are things that are sometimes hard to address and hard to
sure.
maybe get the individual to acknowledge and even harder to maybe change some of those habits that,
right.
that the individuals have mm-hmm. gotten involved with over the past few years, decades, whatever, correct?
And habits, but definitely diagnosis. People need treatment. Sometimes they need medication. They need therapies. They need a safe place to start from every single day so they can do all these things they need to do to build up their behavior, their mental health. And that's not happening in some sections of our county.
Right. Really easy to get pulled back into that mm-hmm. behavior, that damaging behavior or problematic addictive behavior, I suppose. And if you're surrounded by people who haven't
right.
quite seen the light yet, I guess, or at least tried
exactly.
to get out of that situation.
You go back to what you know.
Right.
It's a survival instinct.
Right. And that's what makes recovery so difficult sometimes mm-hmm. or challenging,
yes.
I would say, for some
yes.
of the folks that we all know that are in that line of work. Mike Stark, I would think this is also maybe a quality of life issue as the county commission looks at helping its constituents and residents and being able to offer some of these services or at least hopefully find people that maybe aren't going to fall through the cracks anymore if they are right now?
Yeah, it's no doubt a quality of life issue. You know, the report identified and it helped to verify the statistic that, as Sue mentioned, behavioral health can affect us all in one form or fashion, directly or indirectly. But 1 in 5 individuals in San Juan County today suffer from some type of behavioral health need, issue, or crisis. 1 in 5 to 20% of our population.
That seems like a big number to me.
It is a big number. And I think it's significant. It shows the need to have an initiative to try to really first and foremost improve our citizens' lives. That's absolutely the ultimate goal here, is how can we improve their life, improve their quality of life. You look at some of the maybe redundancy that exists in the system at times. Certainly from a public safety standpoint, you mentioned the adult detention center. In the past, that has been the de facto mental health facility. The ER is the other facility that serves as a primary care in form of treatment. Sometimes housing and folks that are homeless. It's easier to commit a crime in the wintertime and end up in jail where you're going to have a warm place to sleep and three meals provided for you and access to medical and mental health care.
There are people that think that way.
There are folks that know that that's the best avenue for them to receive resources. Right. In some cases, it's kind of a shocking statistic too. We are responsible for the care and custody of individuals that come to the adult detention center.
Right.
Once they're brought to us, we have to assess their medical condition, their mental health condition. We usually can get folks that need a mental health visit, that visit within 7 days. Do you happen to know what it takes today, if you're in the community, not in jail, to receive, be able to schedule a visit in terms of time?
Right, I have no idea.
Close to 60 days.
Not the seven.
Not the seven.
Close
to 60 days, 2 months. And so that's not right. It shouldn't be the situation. You should be able to have that level of access of care available to you outside of the criminal justice system. And so, and it's expensive. What's the benefit for somebody who's saying, well, I don't know anybody that's suffering from a behavioral health need, be it a friend or a family member. What's in this for me? Well, there's an opportunity through all this to reduce costs to the taxpayer. We spend over $5 million a year out of a $16 million budget at the Adult Detention Center on medical and mental health services. All valuable services to provide to the folks that were responsible for their care and custody. And we bid that out in a very cost-effective manner. But the reality of it is it's expensive to provide that type of care. And so if we can get folks stable and, more importantly, provide opportunities once they're out of jail to improve their life, improve their situation, improve their health, and not be in a situation where they're going to end up, committing a crime and being reincarcerated, that's a savings to the taxpayer. And so there's a lot of different avenues in which improving the behavioral health system in San Juan County helps us all,
right,
regardless of your lens, whether or not it's in your mind directly affecting you or not. Sending folks to the ER, that's the most expensive form of care that you can be provided in the community, upwards of $2,500 a visit. We need to find better ways to get folks the help they need, and like you said, once again, improve their quality of life and improve the overall quality of life here in San Juan County.
Right. And Sue Hodgman, it sounds like something that we were talking about before we came on the air this morning about breaking the cycle of maybe repeat offenders or people that keep finding their way back to the detention center.
Right.
And having maybe some kind of aftercare or some facility or person that can help them once they get out of the detention center and have served their time and now are ready to make their new life and not get sucked back into maybe some of the things that landed them in the detention center in the first place. Is that something that we're talking about?
Community support workers, case managers from various entities, from the MCOs, the insurance companies, from PMS, different agencies. I'd like to see the a peer support program grow here. I'd like to see our peer mentors get certified and become part of that movement to support. I mean, who better to help somebody navigate through the systems? The systems can be really complicated. Transportation can be an issue for people. Time management can be an issue. Do I go to work or do I go to this appointment? Do I buy food or do I pay for this appointment? Oh, I need childcare. How do I do this? How do I navigate this whole thing? And so if we can build a peer workforce, and and support them while they grow and they become professionals in the field. And but they can support these people and teach them how to make those difficult navigations to the treatment, to learning how to do it, to finding a recovery group, to finding a group where I belong, to building my own network of support. And then I can become a peer and I can do this and I can help others as well. So
right.
But we all need that help to get up there first.
Sure, but that's a proven and effective way to help others, right? Is having others that have gone through the same be that influence in their lives.
That's very big indicator of somebody's success, that they have a partnership with somebody who's been through it before, because they can teach those skills, they can help them navigate the process. And we kind of believe people who've been through the same thing we've been through.
Sure. Well, that's true. And it's not someone else in a lab coat or a doctor somewhere telling us what we should be doing or what have you. That's true. Mike Stark, that number that you gave us about 20% of residents having an issue with behavioral health, that's got to be impacting the job market. And employers have to be seeing this too. It's got to be a cost for them.
Yeah, if you're struggling with depression or you're struggling with just, you know, not in the right frame of mind, it's going to be difficult when you're at work. You're probably not going to be as productive and as efficient as you should be or could be. And depending upon whether or not you have leave benefits to go take care of your situation or access to appropriate medical care, absolutely it's going to affect your employment.
But if I'm just working three part-time jobs, good luck.
You don't have any of those things,
right?
More than likely. And so it's going to be very difficult on you. And so that's, I think, what's nice about this initiative and our commission putting strong attention towards it. You know, when you put focus on an issue, it's amazing how then other folks know that, be legislators or funding opportunities through grants, foundations, become available. And we've seen some success here this last legislative session. We were able to bring in over $690,000 in grants associated with a program at the jail, and some other dollars associated with behavioral health, both at the detention center and the alternative sentencing program. And so, it's $590,000, not $690,000.
Okay, still sounds like a significant number, though, that can do a lot of good, I would think, with those types of dollars, right? I mean, it's a big number, don't get me wrong, but it sounds like it can be impactful.
Very impactful, and you know, it's impactful in terms of being able to provide those kind of post-released aftercare services at our jail that we've never had before. Not that we'd, you know, send folks out previously with a list, a resource guide,
right,
of where they can find access to medical care, mental health, transportation, housing. But that's far different with providing somebody a guide and saying good luck versus providing somebody with a guide and a case manager who's going to call up and check on you and make sure that you're getting in for your appointments, that if you need transportation, we can coordinate that, and making sure that you get the help you need. And really, most importantly, showing that somebody cares about your concern, your situation, and you as a human being. And that, I tell you what, that goes a long way when you're talking about trying to improve individuals' lives.
I would think so. Right.
And so that grant that we received from the state is going to help us help facilitate that program and a target population that we have. And the hope is that we would reduce the reincarceration rate associated with some of these folks that are frequent flyers at the jail.
Right. Breaking that cycle, as we talked about, right?
And
trying to do that. And that helps the whole family, I would think, too. Mm-hmm. Sue Hodgman, you've probably seen some of this in your line of work in previous careers and things that you've been doing in the community for some of these folks who maybe feel like they've just been crumpled up and thrown away by society, to feel that someone cares when they're walking out the doors of that detention center?
I think so. If somebody's there to give that hand up, I think that is, it makes a huge difference that people do care.
Right. And that's important. And as Mike Stark said, this is a savings ultimately for the rest of the taxpayers too, if these folks aren't going back into the jail or going to the ER or whatever. They're getting out of that cycle of continuous abuse or what have you, whatever the case may be in their behavioral health. So my guest this morning, everyone, from San Juan County, County Manager Mike Stark is here with us in our studio. Also, Sue Hodgman is here, and she is the county's new Behavioral Health Services Administrator, and new on the job, like a month?
A month.
Maybe, is that about it?
Just about a month,
okay.
Yeah.
And but you are hitting the ground running because of your background and the guidance from this behavioral health gap report that has been commissioned by the San Juan County Commission. See, I'm doing the same thing. Yep. I can't think of another name for it.
I know.
By the commission to look at San Juan County and what we have and what we need and how to get there, I guess, is kind of what this report tells you. And sounds like money well spent.
Absolutely money well spent. And it's available online at our website, sjcounty.net. We would encourage everyone to go take a look at it and provide us your feedback, provide us your input, provide us your real-life world experiences as it relates to this. We need to hear from everyone in our community as to how we should best approach this as we're trying to tackle a really big need in our community. Like I mentioned earlier, 20% of our population, that's significant.
Right. And no, it is. It's the number I'm still coming to grips with in my head as you talk about it.
We need to do more. We need to, and you know, like I said, it's ultimately at the end of the day, it's going to provide better outcomes for the people and our citizens that we serve. And then potentially, I think a reduction in cost as you see the cycle of breaking the cycle of just continually working through the criminal justice system, the medical, you know, the healthcare system, that we're going to probably see some net savings there. And so I think it's a real benefit to our area. And I certainly give the commission, our county commission, credit for taking the courage in this and the first big step forward to make this happen.
Sure. And do you think there may be some more money from the state level that could be coming to help with some of these issues at future legislative sessions? I know we can't predict what they're going to do in Santa Fe, but from what they've done in the past, does this seem like something they're focusing on and paying attention to in our state?
It is. In fact, the governor's come out in strong support of finding additional dollars and supporting programs and initiatives that fund behavioral health services. We were successful this past legislative session, and thanks to our local legislators who helped pull some additional resources together, we'll be asking for additional dollars this session and hope that we're successful in that. And more importantly, we can show that we've done some good work to date with the dollars that we've received, the programs that we've instituted, and that they're having an impact in our community, and that we can hopefully tackle this problem with a few more resources and a few more dollars.
Sure, sure. And Sue Hodgman, let me turn to you again as we are nearing the end of our time together this morning. But so in this new job, you've been there a month. I mean, what are your goals? Obviously, you must have some short-term goals and long-term goals as you visit with folks around the county and learn about what they're dealing with on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. Well, like I said before, my short-term goals are to renew my relationships, make new relationships, meet new people in the field, talk to everybody I possibly can, get their opinion on this, find out what they think about it, what their solutions are, and then I think I've got to map out a timeline, but we'll develop a strategic plan.
Right, sure.
We'll be meeting with, you know, the hospital soon, and we've already met with PMS, and there's more to do, much more, but put together a strategic plan and figure out what's the best way, short term, mid term, long term, and what are our goals and set them up. You know, what can we do that's not going to cost us anything? You know, like the college is doing some really wonderful programs to support mental health and behavioral health awareness.
Right.
And so find those entities that are doing it for low cost and support that more. I think we need to destigmatize behavioral health across the board and make it okay to look for help, make it okay to talk about it and take away the scariness of it. And and that's low cost.
Right.
But there's a lot of people who just can't go there because of the fear of being recognized or naming it or a lot of different reasons. So we have to destigmatize it. But, you know, we've got some ideas on what to do short-term, mid-term, and long-term. But I'm still gathering people's information right now.
Right. But it sounds like you certainly have a plan and you've got some focus and
I've got ideas,
where you're headed, that's for sure.
I have to make sure everybody's got the same idea as me.
Right. And it sounds like, though, the county, San Juan County, is not getting into the behavioral health business, at least no more than you are already.
No.
But you are going to work with the existing providers who are already here and providing these services in our community to maybe focus their efforts as well from the results of this study.
It's better if it comes from the community. than from the government entity. Much better.
And that's your plan. That's your thought.
For the community as well.
Right. Yes. Mike Stark, that's your thoughts as well and the commission's hopes?
Oh, absolutely. We certainly want to work with the existing provider community. And in some cases, the services that are provided today are provided primarily because there's a funding source behind it. And sometimes services aren't provided because you don't have a funding source, even though they're valuable and much-needed services. And so part of this initiative will be looking at, are the right services and the right level of services being provided in our community? And if they're not, what are the roadblocks? What are the ways that, and one of the big challenges in our state, with 47% of our state on Medicaid, and Medicaid not being the best form of reimbursement for a provider.
Right.
You can't have a client base that's all Medicaid patients. It probably will lead to you not being in business. And so how do we help provide or encourage the state to improve Medicaid reimbursements for providers? And that oftentimes can be a roadblock. How do we improve the access to services? The trained workforce, making sure that we have folks that can provide the services here locally. And what Sue mentioned, public education and information campaigns so that people know where to go to find resources within our community, that there's not this stigma associated with asking for help, that it's okay, one in five, once again, I'll keep touting that's, we can go through the room and you can count to five. We're all affected in some form or fashion, whether it's directly affected or indirectly affected, and it's a real benefit that we try to tackle this problem. And it's not a problem; it's providing folks in our community the services they need.
Sure. Well, and realizing what those are, and to be able to identify those and use the dollars most effectively. It sounds like so. Sue Hodgman, any final thoughts? We have just a couple of minutes remaining about this new job and this new professional life for you.
We have a lot of really brilliant people out there in the human services and other organizations. We have a really great recovery community. We have a really great peer support community, and I encourage them all to start looking for solutions and start building those ideas. We've got some really, really smart people out there, experienced people. Some people are in the field, some people aren't in the field who need to be in the field. And I encourage them to step forward and start doing your work.
Very good. And you're open to suggestions, it sounds like, today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
All right.
Yes.
And Mike Stark, we can find this gap analysis on the county's website if folks would like to do some deeper reading and find out more about what we're talking about.
That's correct. SJCounty.net.
There it is.
And we also have listed a behavioral health services interactive web map where you can find providers today. And that's also listed right underneath the behavioral health gap analysis.
Okay.
Encourage folks to go there.
Very good. Well, thank you both for coming in this morning to talk about this very innovative, exciting program to address some of these important needs in our community. So.
You bet. Thanks for the opportunity.
You're very welcome. That's why we're here. So thank you both
you.
Very much. Sue Hodgman, Mike Stark, thank you for being here, my guests on KSJE. And I'll be back with more in just a moment, everybody.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.